Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 33 of the Brain Drizzle podcast. I'm your host, Q-Dragon. With me, as always, is Jack.
Hello.
So this week, another host full with just us. But I think, if all goes well, next week we should have a pretty awesome guest.
Looking forward to it.
I guess we'll tease it, because, I mean, otherwise, who's going to watch? Next week's guest will hopefully be someone from a science and technology-themed, basically, crowdfunding site, similar to Kickstarter, but themed, and specifically to talk about a project to use synthetic biology to save bees.
The bees! The bees!
So it's basically everything we could ever want, like, between you and me.
It is bees.
Anyways, speaking of science, because that's what our podcast is about, if you didn't watch my vlog, I have started writing for a brand new science website. It's like fresh off the internet press, called SciCurious.org. See what they did there. And it's essentially very non-technical, very short, quick science articles that are sourced from open access journals. So I'm hopefully going to start writing there once a week.
That is awesome. How new is this site? Like, how long have they been open to the public?
I think, like, total there's, like, 5 stories.
So these guys are as virginal as undriven white pure snow, then.
Yeah. And I'm also encouraging people to follow them on Twitter and Facebook, or however they like, because I'm actually in contact with the site creator and trying to finagle a position as their social media manager. So if you want to keep up with this new site, follow them on Twitter or Facebook, and maybe say that Q sent you.
Yeah. We would be much obliged.
And also, read my article. It should be, like, the newest one.
Are we not fans?
Yeah. One more bit of housekeeping. I think I may have mentioned this last time, but the documentary we are working on is changing names to GMOK, and instead of interviewing scientists from more well-known GM crop research, we're actually going to try and interview, basically scientists I have found in the African Journal of Biotechnology, related to GM research. So, that's going to be scientists from Africa, Asia, India, that sort of thing.
Yeah, seriously. Scientists who live in the places where where starvation is imminent and very much a part of their communities and even touching their communities. You know, some of these scientists have seen it with their own eyes. And I think that'll be a really great fresh perspective, not against most of the people who get up on public and talk about these issues or anything. But I think this is going to be a little bit more raw.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
So I emailed, like, 12 people. I've already got one response. So he might be... I've emailed him the question, so he might be either sending audio or video, or maybe just text answers. I don't know. So we'll work with whatever we get.
Definitely. We'll make it happen.
So I'm pretty excited about that. So hopefully... I'm hoping for, like, at least 4 responders. So with that out of the way, let's get right into the news.
Yay, I like the news.
Last week, I was so deprived of my biology that I have 2 biology articles. Researchers in Japan have regenerated, like, a fully functional salivary gland.
They grew a spit factory in a petri dish?
Yep, it was, like, fully functional, and they transplanted it into mice without salivary glands.
Well, good for them. I'm a little grossed out.
Really?
Dude, saliva is icky.
Ah. You do realize that's in your mouth right now.
Well, that's fine if it's in my mouth, but if I see somebody else spit, or if I touch somebody else's spit, oh my god. Or, like, you know that thing where somebody hacks a loogie and then lets it go down, try to see how far they can go down before they suck it back up?
Oh, dude, I'm the king of that.
Dude, that grosses me out so bad. Like, watching somebody do it, I want to throw up. Trying to do it myself, which, yeah. The fact that my saliva cooled down, and then once it was back in my throat, it was just like, oh, I just wanted to spit it out like a, like it was a...
I know, dude. If I drink orange juice or something, I can do, like, 3 spit bubbles on top of each other. It's magical.
Oh, God. It's just horrible. It's like, I can't... I have trouble with the dogs because they try to lick me to death, and that's spit. That's gross. I mean, I can deal with my cat deciding that my arm needs a bath, but I
guess cat tongues are just weird. They're like not wet at all. They're just like fucking sandpaper.
Yeah, it feels weird. Sometimes it kind of hurts.
Yeah, it goes like fucking sandpaper.
Yeah, there's like one spot on my arm that's like super exfoliated.
It's like, I'm sure that's a service somewhere. Really, just like pile kittens on someone and they like lick you to death.
I don't know why.
That's really peculiar, I find that. Because it's like literally the least gross thing that comes out of the human body.
Yeah, I can accidentally step in a pile of a drunk man's urine. I'm just like, ugh, whatever. And I can deal with
that's
blood,
so weird.
Massive amounts of blood. You know, I can even deal with fecal matter. I don't want to touch it with my hands. But, you know, I'll be the one to pick up the cat turd or some drunk asshole's human turd because, for some reason, in this hypothetical universe, drunk people like to go in our yard. Not for real, though, thank God. A couple of years ago, when there was a house that I lived at where, yes, that was the case.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but it's just kind of like, I don't want to touch it, but, you know, I can handle it. But I cannot handle spit. I cannot handle spit. I don't know why.
I find that really odd.
Yeah. Seriously. Like, I could accidentally sit in a pile of jism and have it on my bare leg and just be like, get over it pretty quickly. But accidentally touch somebody else's spit, especially if there's like some mucus in it, I flip the fuck out. Seriously.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, this went off the rails so quick.
Well, that's what happens when people decide to give me medication. I am fully hinged. Beware.
You're hinged to the max.
I am hinged to the max, man.
back to the fucking news story. I don't even know what to do with my life anymore. Fuck. But I'm trying to move on. Okay. Phew, calm down. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is, something else. So this is why we shouldn't, like, do podcasts at, like, the last minute in the afternoon. Yeah, anyways.
But it's hilarious.
Oh, it is. But I got weird real quick.
Yeah, it did.
Like, you're revealing your psychology to the audience far more than you intend to.
Well, it's a phobia. A lot of people have weird phobias.
Yeah, but still. Okay, moving on. Fuck, where is this research from? My train is derailed. Ohio State University have found 2 genetic markers that relate to an enzyme that breaks down a broad group of medications, so that depending on what variants they have, it could require like 25% less or like lore of the medication. It's like by analyzing these markers, they can better prescribe drugs. Because if they're a slow metabolizer and they get a regular dose, they could like have like a much higher dose in their bloodstream than a normal person.
Like, where is it? Is the enzyme inside the body, or is it, like, something they created?
It's in the liver.
Oh, got it. Okay, that is very useful. That is excellent.
Yeah. That's really all I have. What do you have, Jack?
Holy shit. Dude, that's all?
Well, I'm telling you, my thought process is, like, totally fucked in the butt. It's just...
So is mine.
So, it should be interesting. I just know it's okay. I'm just... It's a weird day, man.
What I read on the internet today is that liberals and conservatives, when they're asked their stance on an issue like abortion or gun control, cutting programs to... giving more social programs to education, all of it. When they sit down and they talk about their views, the more hardcore they are, the more likely that they're going to legitimately feel that their view is the most superior. Yeah, now keep in mind, this is people with extreme views. You know, we're talking, you know, for example, atheist versus anti-theist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anti-theist wants to get rid of all religion. That's an extreme view. And they feel very strongly that their view is the most superior.
So basically, the stronger the view, the stronger they feel that their view is right.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, seriously, it's like, it's not like they embrace this extreme view and think, well, it could be, but maybe not. No, they're just like, no, this is the answer. This will solve all our problems. This is what we need to do. And that's why they're so frantic about getting it done, because they really do believe it's the right answer, and it's what's going to help the nation, or at this point, save the nation.
Well, you're saying, in for a penny, in for a pound. So if you have crazy political beliefs, you might as well. That'd be weird if someone had really extreme political beliefs or was like not sure about them.
Yeah, I know,
that
right?
That would be weird. That would be a weird conversation. Like, I think we should, like you know what might help is that we just close down our military. But you know, I don't know.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who are like that. But they've probably heard those views from the extreme people and decided to give it merit, just being like, hey, they've thought it through more than I have, and maybe.
So, I mean, I think the most minorities, people with extreme views who aren't sure of them, I'm pretty sure that's pretty heavily correlated, that the more extreme your views are, the more sort of set on them you are.
Yeah, and if you think about it, in order to push an extreme view, it's like you have to have like your full weight and certainty behind it. Yeah. I almost wonder if it's basically to keep the extreme view, you need to keep extreme certainty. And it could be like the little by little step. It could be that it starts small, but then it slowly escalates. The more the situation escalates, the more power they have to put in it, you know, the more energy they have to put in it, and they really have to draw on their conviction to be able to have that energy. And it could be that the conviction and all of that itself might kind of cause an exponential effect to kind of help them slide into the extreme area.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, it could be kind of a causative thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, sometimes, I love science. But some studies that they do, I'm like, really, we need to study that?
I know.
Not necessarily this, but there are some studies where they, like, analyze society, and it's like, racism is a thing. It's like, really? So, Jack, what's your last story?
Yeah, so it turns out that schools have their, anti-bullying presentations all wrong. What?
All right.
Talking about middle school guidance counselors not knowing how to talk to kids?
Madness. So how exactly are they fucking up, and how can they unfuck up?
Basically, they'll give presentations, right, to tell them these are the things that count as bullying. Just here's how you can describe this kind of behavior, so you can, you know, tell an adult or get a mediator or something like that. Things that you can do about it, what to do if it escalates, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, turns out that the schools with those presentations and with those guidelines in place in which bullying is taken seriously and the staff has, like, a certain protocol that they go through if a student walks up to them and says, this is happening. Well, it turns out the schools with that in place, there's actually more bullying reported at those schools.
That doesn't really make sense.
The schools will basically do these interventions saying, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. However, the bullies are actually given tools to be able to figure out how to get out of it. Because the presentations are actually telling bullies what to say or do when approached by, like, parents or teachers. So, a lot of times the victims are getting busted.
This is basically a guidebook on how to bully without being caught.
Yeah, that's what it's turning it... That's what it turns into.
Nature found a way.
Nature found a way, yeah. And basically, they're talking about possibly doing better studies. Or...
That would help.
Yeah. And trying to figure out better ways to keep this from happening.
So it would almost help if the definitions were vaguer, it sounds like.
No, not that. Basically, they should, instead of describing general behavior, it actually mentions in this article possibly focusing more on the relationship between the bully and victim. Essentially, a relationship is established, and what the victim is prone to do to try to keep the situation from escalating or try to keep the incidents as short and as non-brutal as possible, like, you know, waylaying violence or threats or their stuff actually getting broken in front of them. You know, they just give things over, they say yes, they confess to whatever the bully wants them to confess. It's just like, yeah, you lied about this and this and this, didn't you? And then, yeah, when they actually told the truth, just putting up with accusations, just shit like that. This is stuff that I remember from middle school. And this article also said that that's when it's the worst, is middle school. Because, like...
Yeah, it seems like when humans are at their shittiest.
Yeah, it really is. It really fucking is.
It's weird. We don't really have middle school here. We go straight from elementary to high school.
Maybe that's why you guys have so little crime and are such a peaceful, polite people.
I mean, I think there were some middle schools, but it's very uncommon to have a middle school.
Yeah.
I've never experienced bullying. Well, that's probably because I had an adult with me all the time.
Yeah, you exist in a motorized vehicle and can mow people down.
That too.
With your beast of a chair.
I really didn't hear much about bullying in my school.
I didn't hear much about it either. I just dealt with it. They gave us a hilariously inept tutorial about sexual harassment.
Oh, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
Dude, you have no clue. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm facepalming like...
How awkward was that?
It wasn't awkward, it was just fail. Because, like, basically they decided to pantomime, like, here's something that might happen. Like, let's say that we're both students, and the skinny one's the female student, and the blonde bimbo one is the male sexual harasser student. Let's say that
were they using students, or were the people presenting?
The people presenting were pretending to be students.
Okay.
Yeah. There was the skinny cool counselor, and then there was the really out of touch former trophy wife counselor.
Okay, awesome, go on.
Okay, so skinny awesome counselor pretends that she's drinking from a drinking fountain, and then frumpy aging trophy wife counselor walks up to her, grabs her hip, swings her fist up in the air and starts going woohoo like she's at a rodeo.
Jesus Christ.
Demonstrating humping somebody from behind at the drinking fountain.
I think if that actually happened in a school setting, everyone involved would just laugh their ass off.
I don't know if it ever happened before they did it. Like, maybe they actually did that because there was an actual incident of that.
I can't imagine there would be. I mean, kids are stupid, but they're not that stupid.
But I guarantee that kids were doing it after they saw that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Like, it's like, here's all the things that are sexual harassment, and this is the way that it makes people feel. And these other kids, and like, half the class is taking notes. What's more about the feeling? I really want to objectify some people. Tell me more. Keep talking. That's exactly what's happening with this bullying thing. It's like, the minute I read the headline, I'm just like, I know what's going on here. And I read it, and I'm just like, knew it. Fucking knew it. I mean, shit.
The sexual harassment presentation, I would literally just laugh out loud if I saw that. Like, oh, fuck.
That's exactly what everybody did. And then, trophy wife counselor gets up and she's like, no, this is serious. This is a really serious thing.
Wait, did people actually laugh?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so
whole,
good.
The whole classroom was just like, fuck.
And like, some of the kids are like, you obviously don't know how to sexually harass people.
Like, the whole thing could have been depicted on The Office or Parks and Recreation.
Sounds pretty accurate.
You know, 50 Rock, just exactly as it was, and it would, like, fit in perfectly. Like, it was. I swear to God, my life is a cartoon, and it always has been a cartoon, and it always will be a cartoon. Because living in Topeka is kind of like living in a cartoon sometimes, just because shit like that
sounds like it.
Fucking blindsides you.
Any other gems from that presentation?
Oh God, I don't even remember. Like, they showed. They showed us some different lewd gestures, a lot of which I didn't know previously, but I knew them. I knew them then.
Oh, that's fantastic! Oh, it's the worst thing ever.
So basically, it was an entire presentation, giving suggestions, and showing techniques, and describing in detail the exact effectiveness of that kind of psychological warfare. Yeah. This is the way to terrorize somebody without leaving any marks. I mean, did they even think this through? Why do people think that giving that kind of presentation is going to work? I remember what middle school was like. I remember back then. Do they not remember? Do they somehow think that it's not going to apply?
Were they, like, changed? Was there just... Had, like, sex not been invented when they were in high school?
Like, how do they... I mean, how can they actually fathom? Do they really think that presenting the information like that is actually going to get through to the kids? I mean...
Well, it got through in a way.
It got through in a way, yeah, but it's exactly the opposite of what they intended. I almost wonder if they just got the information in front of them and worked on the information real good and basically worked on it the same way that they would work on a college project. And then presented that to kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Without actually thinking about, without giving any thought to what is the best way to communicate to a kid. Well, you break it down to make it real simple, and you give demonstrations. That's just teaching them how to do it.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. No, you gotta... you gotta do something else. The thing says, describe the relationship. So somebody getting up there and showing a PowerPoint presentation that describes the bully-victim relationship and how that works instead of giving a bunch of conflict, a bunch of conflict solution techniques. Like, I bet you, for this bullying thing, they gave a whole bunch of,
examples of bullying?
That and also the probably like tools for dealing with conflict with your words, like when you do that it makes me feel this or blah blah blah, all stuff that works for a couple,
yeah,
who is a couple who fights a lot who needs to learn how to communicate effectively, or if a counselor needs to mediate a dispute between two chicks that just got into a cat fight in the hallway, or like two dudes, or a dude and a chick, or some kids who are having a brawl over Pokemon cards.
I'm sure that again that only happens in Topeka.
That shit's serious, man. I'm pretty sure it happens other places. You know what I actually thought that was? It was
probably
brawl. Yeah. It was a goddamn brawl. I mean, they were full on. It wasn't like a bunch of fronting and a few pushing things. Basically, a duel between two guys. It's just like, you're lucky somebody came and broke this up. It wasn't nothing like that. It was just a full on. This was full on. I need to hurt you now. It was a serious fucking fight. Oh god, Pokemon cards just flew everywhere. There was a good 50 of them on the floor, and I didn't even see what caused it. I just turned the corner and saw that it was happening. Like, I saw the fight through these windows around the corner, and then when I turned the corner I saw the Pokemons on the floor, and I'm just like, I instantly put everything together. These are two friends who argued about whose cards were which and just got into a fight.
Yep.
Like, all out, hands down, no holds barred fight that took like three people to break up.
That's kind of amazing.
It's kind of amazing to the point, I mean, I'm laughing in amazement, but looking back it's actually kind of terrifying, not something I should really be laughing about, but at the same time, what, it's two 12-year-olds, what the fuck. But yeah, anyway, but yeah, like, how they would have sat those kids down and tried to mediate is just like, okay, here's how to communicate. I'll walk you through communicating so you can see everything from each other's point of view. And then trying to teach that to these kids, like, okay, you're a victim of bullying. Here's how to try to talk to the person. Have at it. Yeah, give them feedback. Give them, give them a status report on how well the terrorization is doing by giving I feel statements.
Yeah.
It's like they don't realize that, you know, the relationship between the bully and the victim is very, very different than the relationship between two friends having a fight.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the relationship between the bully and the victim, like, the victim will actually identify the bully as their best friend. And it's just that, it's just a type of abusive relationship where, like, the power levels are so completely uneven, and it's a 12-year-old who is obviously going to exploit that. I mean, shit, some people grow all the way up into adulthood and continue on with that kind of mentality. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, I remember, I was, like, for some reason, 8 or 9 that I was in, I lived in California for a year. Mm-hmm. And so I went to an elementary school there for a year, and there was, like, you could become a conflict mediator at the school.
Oh.
So, like, anywhere from, like, 7 to 10-year-olds are being, like, trained. There was, like, a week training course of, like, trying to mediate conflicts, like, in the playground, and you had, like, a shirt that you would wear. It was weird.
The fuck?
Wait. Wait, just, I guess the idea was that, you know, if there was like an argument, there'd be more kids like right there. And there was like shifts too. Like, okay, you three have Monday, you three have Tuesday. And like when it was your day, you wore the shirt.
Actually, that kind of makes sense because teachers will look at shit that's really important to kids. And basically look at it just like, why is this even a big deal? Just let him have the card. What is this? They don't understand the significance of these things.
But it's a Gyarados and shiny.
Yeah. For one, like, let's say this is a prized card and somebody is trying to say that it's theirs. Or somebody's trying to hog the good Pokemon cards, or, you know, trying to say they bought shit that they didn't. Or even just, you know, even just like, hey, that was my ball that I picked, you can't just take it, you can't just have that ball every time. Like, you know, when I was a kid, they brought out these barrels of, like, basketballs and dodgeballs and, like, four square balls and baseballs, just a whole lot of balls.
A whole lot of balls. That's the name of the podcast.
A whole lot of balls, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so they got all that. And, you know, there'd be some balls that were more beat up than others. There'd be the half-deflated balls, and then there'd be the new balls.
So there's really fine balls, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so the very fine balls always went to the kids with the higher status. And if somebody tried to grab the fine ball, other people would come and say, hey, that's my ball. Like, one time I was just like, hey, I'm going to get a really good ball today. You know, I'm just going to treat myself to something at recess. You bet your ass kids came up to me and commandeered that shit. Because I was the pariah. I was at a very low status level on the playground, and they were at a higher status level. That's what the teachers don't realize. It's not about the ball. It's not about the action figure. It's not about the fucking Pokemon card or the hair tie or the hairbrush, whatever. I mean, these are things that I've actually seen altercations go over. It's about power and status. When somebody tries to take something or commandeer shit, you know, it's how kids put each other in their place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically they're actually in training to enter the grown-ups world. Because, you know, it's weird. It's like, I see grown-up versions of this shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it baffles me that people can't look at it and just realize that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I really wonder if people who are attracted to the guidance counselor position were just really not very self-aware when they were kids.
Or like they were like clueless to what was actually going on when they were kids.
Yeah, or, you know, possibly even just like no self-awareness, just decided, we get this ball every recess, therefore it's our ball, it's our favorite ball that we get, and My play name is Princess Unicorn, so I'm a princess, so I get that ball. That kind of rationale is, it was all about territory. You know, they were just acting on that was the way it is, instead of really thinking about their actions. Yeah, I grew up in a childhood, you know, I grew up in a home where things were like that to the point of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
But certain family members also took their effort to, you know, actually kind of raise me and inform me that that kind of stuff shouldn't happen.
Yeah,
yeah, it was kind of weird. Well, they knew all about it because they lived in it, I guess. So
I'm trying to remember.
It's like I could see it.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what actual skills they taught me in the conflict mediation when I was like 8. I don't remember much.
Mm.
God damn, that was 12 years ago. But I think I do recall being kind of a badass. Like, between the chair and, like, the authority of the shirt, I was, like, all over that shit.
Did you have aviator sunglasses?
No, but I was pretty pimpin'.
You should have had aviator sunglasses. Like, you should have just, like, straight up asked for a pair. Just been like, I need these. I need these to
I'm
do my
remember.
Job.
I'm sure it's happened, but I don't actually remember having to do anything with a conflict. Like, I think if people who were in like, the patrol showed up, stuff just sort of dissolved most of the time.
Yeah, so kind of like the difference, you know, there's two types of three types of people who gravitate toward conflict. Either instigate it or they get in there to egg shit on.
Mm-hmm.
Who start the conflict or keep the conflict going, like thrive on the conflict. Mm-hmm. There's the people who like to stand there and be spectators and talk a whole bunch so they feel like they're being part of it but not actually be part of it, so there's no consequences. And there's the people who jump in to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the people who go in and solve things. You know, that's anywhere you go, you will find that one guy that everybody respects, and he comes in, no, don't do this. Like, I saw him at Job Corps, I saw him at all the schools I went to, I've seen him at work. You know, just the self-appointed mediator, and he doesn't even have to be, like, a manager, he or she. They don't have to be a manager, they don't have to be, you know, anything. They just have to have been there long enough and, you know, basically gotten to know everyone enough, gotten, you know, get enough rapport with everyone. Like, it just takes a little bit of social effort and charisma and grace and knowing how to do it.
I had neither charisma nor grace. And I was, like, literally fresh off the bus from Canada. And I had, like, two friends.
Wow.
And my friends were... For some reason, I went on a bus, right? Because there was, like, a wheelchair bus. It wasn't a short bus. It was just a wheelchair bus. And there was, like, two other kids that went on the bus with me for some reason. And, like, that was my... Those were my two friends. The one friend was a girl. She was small, but she had, like, an agent and shit. She was, like, a California girl. She was trying to get into commercials or something. But she was, like, my age and, like, small. So she was shrimp. And then I had a friend who had, like, deformed ears. So he looked like a monkey. So he was a blue monkey.
Wow. So were you a bully?
No.
Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, that was my crew. And, like, we all agreed on the names.
Oh, cool. What was your name?
I don't remember.
Was it that bad?
I honestly don't remember.
What? How could you forget your own, but remember theirs?
I don't know. It may have been Wheels. But I can't confirm that.
Wheels. That's actually kind of badass.
I know. It's a decent nickname. And when you're in a wheelchair, you know, it works.
You know, a friend of mine actually had the pleasure to befriend a Hobo King in California who went by Hell on Wheels.
A Hobo King, you say?
A Hobo King, yeah. Basically, it's a... I'm not entirely sure how it works, but basically homeless people who are in an area will have, like, their own hierarchy and community.
That makes sense. That sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, because being homeless does not necessarily mean being on your own, like some people think. Like, if you go to certain areas, there are, like, actually certain countries, there's certain cities in this country where it's far easier to be homeless than in others. And a lot of that is based upon outreach programs and also established
communities. And how great your king is.
The thing is, I'm not entirely set on what a hobo king is, but...
Whatever it is, it sounds amazing.
Basically... He had a lot of stuff, and he was well respected.
Yeah, we've been, like, unedited. This is an hour conversation.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I'll have to ask my friend more about exactly what that entailed. I mean, he served some kind of function, but I just don't know enough about, you know, that kind of I just don't know enough about that kind of subculture. So
on the next Hostful, we'll have an update for you on the Hobo King.
Yeah, next Hostful.
If for some goddamn reason you're still listening to this.
Seriously. I'll do something to trim this down. All right.
Okay. Boop.
Bye.